Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
As always, guys, please do make sure you're subscribed to all three channels, Evolutionary EE Arts, Heart's Home, and Might As Well. Thank everybody for your support over on Patreon. We couldn't do it without you guys over there, and also on Ko-Fi, where you can do one-time donation or monthly donations to keep the channel going. Okay, speaking of going, there is no proof the U.S. landed on the moon. So says ex-Russian space boss. Dmitry Rogozin says that while many in Roscosmos defended Washington's version of events, no one could produce irrefutable proof that we actually went. Former head of Russia's space agency has expressed doubt that the U.S. Apollo 11, guys. You know, just again, think about it. Apollo, right? Sun god, Greek sun god. Enlil. You know, for those that do follow space weather, you'll know that we utilize these names everywhere, not just space weather, you know, astronaut missions. It's, you know, we keep going back to all of these myths and legends. Why? Oh, we got some interesting myths here, which some of you guys have heard us mention in the past, and we're going to touch on it again. As everything that we see and are given as the science, the irrefutable proof, it's all just basically, it's about painting a picture, and that picture, well, it's all about deceiving humanity.
Well, yeah, I mean, they got that down pretty good, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, in a post on his Telegram channel on Sunday, Rogozin said he began his personal quest for the truth about 10 years ago when he was still working for the Russian government. He grew skeptical about whether the Americans had actually set foot on the moon when he compared how exhausted Soviet cosmonauts looked upon returning from their flights and how seemingly uninfected the Apollo 11 crew was by contrast. So he sent requests for evidence to Roscosmos at the time. All he received in response was a book featuring Soviet cosmonaut Alexei Leonov's account of how he talked to the American astronauts and how they told him they had been on the moon. The former official wrote that he continued with his efforts when he was appointed head of Roscosmos in 2018. However, no evidence was presented to him. Instead, several unnamed academics angrily criticized him for undermining the sacred cooperation with NASA. Sacred cooperation with NASA. Really? Really? So, you know, it's interesting to see this. Of course, we had that whole race with the Soviet Union. You know, who was going to get there first? It was a huge race. And what did it do? Well, it launched a lot of technology. It made a lot of money for certain businesses, created certain jobs, created a new mindset. It did a lot of things. It paved the way for a lot of things. Now, is Buzz Aldrin just a senile old man at the time of this interview?
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
So, again, her question is, why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
Why has nobody been to the moon in such a long time?
That's not an 8-year-old's question. That's my question. I want to know, but I think I know. Because we didn't go there, and that's the way it happened. And if it didn't happen, it's nice to know why it didn't happen. So in the future, if we want to keep doing something, we need to know why something stopped in the past that we wanted to keep it going. But I think I know. Because we didn't.
Now, of course, there's been these fact checkers that come out and say, well, that's taken out of context. He was just saying that after we went, we stopped going and we didn't keep going. That's the fact checkers. So is this Buzz having a Bidenism of a day? Yeah, maybe. But the reality is, did we go? Well, is it possible to go in the first place? Now, I'm not talking about a firmament up in the sky that's going to keep us, you know, from getting past. I'm not saying that it's locked down or anything. It's just what we've gotten from the guides is something very, very different. Very, very different.
Well, it's a hologram, you know? It's not something that we can actually put our hands on and our feet on, because it's not in this density. It's simply that it's just not in this density. It's in another density. And, you know, I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding when it comes to the moon. A lot of, it's very difficult to comprehend. It's very difficult to understand, because we're dealing with everything in this 3D construct, dealing with everything the way we've been taught. We do not have the ability, nor have we been taught, to understand how these things come to be. But that's what's going on. It's not here. It's not tangible in the 3D, but it is tangible in a 4D.
Again, this relates to the cycle of the yugas. We are going through a period right now that is known as an ascending period. This is taken from Sri Yukteswar's chart of the yugas. And Sri Yukteswar is an amazing student of yoga. He was the teacher to Paramahansa Yogananda. And he came up with this representation. Does it mean it's actual fact 100% dead on? Could be off a little, you know, for sure. But at the same time, the concept feels perfectly right. And the guides have reaffirmed this, that the concept is right. And so in his calendar, we've actually already left the Kali Yuga. We're on the beginning part of the Dwapara. So we're going from the Dark Age into like a Bronze Age, and then we'll go into the Silver, then we'll go into the Gold, and then the Gold will start to fade, then we'll head back into Silver, back into the Bronze, back into the Dark. Now, this is also a cycle of densities, and that's therein the mystery of this. As the Earth goes through these changes, we literally are changing our frequency and our vibration. And so we are around different beings in these different time periods. When we're in the dark of the Kali Yuga, those beings that are our teachers, the devas, the, you know, golden shining ones, those beings are far from us. And, you know, as far as they're not visible, they're not dominant upon the planet at that point in time. And instead, we are surrounded by these darker energies. So in many ways, when we're in the Dark Age and a certain portion of the Bronze Age, we are in the more hellish realms. This is why we see all sorts of tragedies, why we see these just abominable things happening, because we're in that home territory. When we're moving on through the Bronze Age and heading towards the Silver Age, we are starting to encounter more and more benevolent beings, beings of mixed nature. But as we move on up from the Silver into the Golden, you're just encountering more and more benevolent beings, and beings that are really truly holding to a much higher perspective on things. So it's fascinating to look at the history of the moon. Now, I've seen the moon go blank. I was watching the moon in North Carolina. Another person was there. It was like midnight, and it was just stargazing on a beautiful night, and the moon was right there, and all the little pockmarks, all the craters, you know, the man in the moon's face, it all just went totally blank. And I looked at the person I was with. They looked at me because they saw it too. It went completely blank. It was just like a white screen. And then, you know, it was maybe 10 seconds. It came back up again. Oh, talk about a glitch in the matrix. It was then that I knew, okay, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. Now, at that point in time, I knew of these legends. And there's actually a name for the people that remember a time before the moon. And it's the Procellanes, or Procellanes. Selene is a moon goddess. So, you know, before the moon was here is basically the time that we're talking about. And many tribes around the world have a record of this. The indigenous peoples of Greece knew of a time before the moon was put in place. And not just that, the Etruscans over on the Italian peninsula, they also remembered a time before the moon was put into place. And then we find African tribes remember the same thing. In fact, this is in culture after culture, that they remember a time before the moon was put into place. Science will tell us that, oh, wow, well, no life could exist on the Earth without the moon. It affects so many things. It affects a woman's menstrual cycle. Well, you know, the reality is that it's the moon's. Now, again, the moon is what we see as a holographic representation of something that is really there on fourth density. So it is there on fourth density. And it does really affect the planet, even though it's on fourth density. In fact, it goes even beyond that. The entirety of the sky that we see is really, in a way, that's also a holographic representation. And it's not a true picture of what is really out there. There are planets. There are other heavenly bodies that are very close to us, which we never see. Because again, some of it is because of the density, and other is because they just don't want us to see and know how close other objects are or how visible they are to us.
Mm-hmm. And you can go through and you can see online video after video after video how people do pick out these other, you know, other things right here in our sky, and it's definitely being covered over in so many ways. You know, and the moon is, it affects our mind, even though it is not here in the third density. It's still very, very, very very much affecting our mind and our body. We have to keep that in mind, because if the moon can pull water on this planet, and think your body is made up of water, the moon is going to push and pull on you too. And it creates an imbalance. So we look at those stories of a time before the moon, we're looking at a time when there was perfect balance. And now we look to the moon. The moon is a lot of the reason why we have the thoughts that we have, why we do the things that we do, because it is so attached to our mind. Now, if you look at third and fourth density, they're very much meshed together. It's not like there's this clear split at all. Third and fourth density blend into each other far more than what I think people think. And right now, people are having this ability to perceive the fourth density. And that just means we're getting that much closer to actually seeing things with your two eyes.
So, you know, you could find many of these articles that are very, very interesting. This one was written a couple of years ago that give us a nice little concise abbreviated history of this. In ancient writings and traditions, one can find proof of a time when the moon did not exist. Democritus and Anaxagoras mentioned that there was a time when no moon could be seen in the night skies. In describing the history of the Greek region of Arcadia, Aristotle writes the Pelagesians lived in the area since very old times, at a time when the moon did not exist. Now, the Pelagesians themselves are very interesting, and we've talked about the Tuatha De Danann and these other groups. Who are they? Well, the reality is they were extraterrestrials that came and settled on this planet.
Right. You know, and that's just all this information is kind of covered over, or it's put in these books and they're, you know, these supposed made up stories. But if you dig a little deeper and talk to people who have been taught about the old world, these things are very, very real.
Absolutely. Angels walk among us. You know, again, all these misterms, misnomers to cover up a very real truth is that we've never been alone. This planet has had beings from many different places cohabitating peacefully on it. And then at times there's been the wars of the gods where, yeah, that peace is a thing of the past, and it's nothing but extermination after extermination of one group of beings from the planet after another. They eliminate all traces, and this is what's going on again right now. That G-E-N-O-C-I-D-E word is a recurring theme on this planet in these dark ages. They will remove people that have certain lineages that have DNA memory of all this that they could tap into when we're out of the dark ages. Multiple reasons for why the food is the way it is, the air is the way it is, and the water is the way it is. And, you know, don't forget your fluoride treatment. Yeah, sure. Calcify that pineal gland, numb and dumb them down. That's the name of the game. Apollonius from Rhodes mentioned something similar. He talked about a time when not all the celestial objects existed in the sky before the time of Deucalion's and Pyrrha's generation, before the cataclysm, the big cataclysm, you know, which we've had multiple. You know, again, there was some major cataclysm in that 5,500 to 6,000 year ago range. And then, of course, the big one, the Younger Dryas. There's been smaller regional events, and there are constant resets of a great variety, if you get what I mean. Yeah, those resets are always happening. Always happening. So, the only, before that cataclysm, when the moon did not exist, and the only humans that existed were the Pelagesians living on the mountains of Arcadia region in Greece. Well, again, you will find these different legends all over the world from a different perspective. And yeah, absolutely, you know, many extraterrestrial beings. When we talk about the first people of Mu, you know, these were extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm. You know, different beings, different understandings. It's just, it's so thick, and it's becoming more and more clear by the day that we're not alone. You know, one of the more beautiful things I like to watch are the Native Americans and how they dance and how they dress, and understanding that they are dressing like these other beings that they have seen in 3D. So these stories, they come down and down and down. So they dress to mimic those beings that they see as, we might call them gods, but they might look at them as very wise beings who came down here to teach us. And they taught them various different dances, and they want to copy that. And they hold on to that. They don't do that just because they think it looks cool. No, there's a big purpose behind it.
Absolutely. In Plutarch's work, Morals, we find the following. There were Arcadians of Evander's following, the so-called pre-lunar people. Pre-lunar, pre-moon people. Similarly, Ovid wrote, the Arcadians are said to have possessed their land before the birth of Zeus. Before the birth of a god? Yes, the Greek king of the gods, Zeus. And the folk is older than the moon. Yeah, absolutely. Now, the Greek gods are most definitely completely connected to the Anunnaki and Draconian grid. the Greek gods that we see of myth and legend, absolutely. What you are talking about is you are talking about those of the Anunnaki, again, the draconian power structure ultimately dominated by AI, artificial intelligence. Doesn't mean that every god, quote unquote, of every mythology is such, because they're not. And you do see that. I see that. And that's one of the main problems with Gaia TV. They want to kind of portray it like they're all the same. And I even saw a show where they were saying that Enki and Osiris are the same being. And no, they're not even close to the same being. This is again how they're going to give us a lot of truth and then distortion at the last moment.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's why it's so important to learn to go within, figure out what works for you. Figure out when you hear the truth, you're going to feel it. And there's a difference between that and resonating with something. Sometimes when you're talking about resonating, that's all fine and good, but are you resonating with it just because that's what you've been taught by your parents or somebody that you respect? Or are you resonating with it because you know it's true? That's another thing, another very, very fine line that we have to learn to work through with our practice.
Absolutely. Evidence been found in other parts of the world as well. In Bolivia, symbols on the wall of a courtyard built in 13,000 BC provide evidence the moon came into orbit around the Earth at a specific moment in time thousands of years ago, long before what mainstream historians refer to as recorded history. Moreover, Calendar Gate in the same site provides evidence that a smaller satellite once rotated around the Earth. We've picked up on that too from the guides in the past. Oral traditions of Colombian Indians of the Bogota Highlands and Eastern Cordilleras of Colombia refer to a time before the moon and the earliest times when the moon was not yet in the heavens, say the tribesmen of Chibchas. Africa also provides its own evidence. According to Zulu legend, the moon was brought hundreds of generations ago by two brothers of alien form, Wawane and Mpanku. What does all this mean? The ancient memory of an earth inhabited by humans without a moon has passed from generations to generations, forming the traditions of numerous civilizations. How did the moon get here? Was it a part of Earth, a planet that entered magnetic field of Earth? Was it naturally formed or made by some lost civilization? Well, it was brought here, and it was brought here by the Anunnakian draconian AI power structure. And we even see here, look at this. It's a globe. He's holding a globe. Anaxagoras, born about 500 BC, he was a pre-Socratic Greek philosopher. And again, he is one of the ones that's quoted. And he's holding a globe. He's not holding a pancake.
It's a globe. Yep.
It's a globe, guys. And again, we're not sharing this, from anything other than direct experience. But if you can, there's probably a lot of other remote viewers that have been out there that remote viewed and see that it's a globe. Again, learn how to meditate, learn meditative technique. Go deep and discover for yourselves. So, it's just fascinating how much everything is truly, truly covered up. And yet it's unraveling. It's unraveling before our very, very eyes. When we talk about the Pelagians, again, we are talking about humanoid beings. There's a lot of humanoid beings out there. There's many different races. And no, there is not a firmament that keeps other advanced beings from coming on and living in the planet. No, this has been going on since, time exists. So when we look at the moon, what is it? Well, it was a natural body. And now, again, it's on 4D. So at some point, it will actually be of the same density as Earth. But there are also, even before, we get to that particular point of time or coinciding with that point in time, the planet of the ant people that the Hopi talk of that helped humanity escape down into the caverns and into the earth to basically save the lives of so many with the Younger Dryas event. Their planet is actually very close to us, and that at some point in time will also be visible. And the sky that people will see, like when we talk about the star children that we'll try to get in contact with again, their sky is much different than what we see now, because so much of what we see now is either an illusion. If you talk about Project Bluebeam, you know, the moon is up there and it is a holographic representation of something that is there, but it's on fourth density, so not truly visible, but it does have an effect on the Earth, and it is part of the reason why we have so many storms, why we have the earthquakes, why we have all the extremes. If the moon was not there, everything would be basically more of a eternal spring.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the moon has everything to do with balance, and depending on where it's at in your chart, you can help yourself find balance. You can help yourself find peace, because that's just the most, moon is the mind. Moon is also emotions. Moon is the mother. Moon is that inner peace within you, but you have to find the balance. It's like, where exactly is it at, so you can find that balance. And it can be a very difficult thing to do, you know, and the sun is very important. This is our soul, but the moon is a reflection of the sun. That's our emotions. So it is a big, complicated project that we find ourselves in, but heck, we're in it together.
Yeah, and just to touch on a couple of things, because I feel like there's questions that are coming up. Is the moon an artificial satellite? It was a natural body that has been used as a home base, a mothership of sorts. So yeah, absolutely, it has been hollowed out to a certain degree and utilized as a mothership. And yeah, absolutely, it is a big base up there, a base of operations. And you know, there's so much allegory out there that has pointed to that fact, and that many indigenous people understood this entirely. They've clearly understood this for a very long time. And Italian witchcraft is thought that, where does the soul go? Ends up being taken up into the moon. And in Italian witchcraft as well, there are beings called the Grigori, which literally translates to the Watchers. And there's the Watchers in, obviously, the Book of Enoch and all. Where they watch from? The moon. It's all right in front of our faces. And yet, there will be a time when the Earth is straightened and righted, and again, everything comes into true balance and true harmony.
Indeed.
So we look forward to your comments, questions, input. Please do share your own experiences. Much love, God bless, and namaste.
Namaste.